The Truth News Network.
The wisdom of the founders with the courage to speak the truth. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Here's Dan Newman.
I got to be honest with you. It does take some pizzazz to hang in there and speak the truth. Man, there's so many things going on. There's so much confusion in Washington. We're ferreting out the truth for you as we do every day here at Truth News Network. Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Newman. Today, we're going to flip a coin. Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump? Well, Trump and Kim Jong-un have now been together face-to-face three times. This was the third meeting. It was a bit strange, certainly unconventional, and absolutely showed the world that the North Korean leader is pretty desperate to continue down the path of getting along with the leader of the United States. In this case, of course, Donald Trump. Trump's detractors' heads have been spinning. They've all been spewing green vomit in their nonstop attacks of the president or escalating every day. Their crushing crescendo has drowned out any tidbits of good that might have resulted from the sharp back-slapping get-together between those two leaders. Trump detractors don't care at all about facts. Their cries are not founded on facts ever, but are directly tied to their one and only perspective. Donald Trump is evil. This all reminds me strangely of the press and political treatment of President Ronald Reagan. In fact, Reagan's treatment by politicians, both Democrat and Republican, and by members of the press are eerily similar to what's happening now to President Trump. Example, Reagan could do nothing right. Reagan did everything wrong. Reagan hated the poor and American minorities. Reagan cared only about the rich. Reagan was a stupid politician. Reagan was a cowboy that spurned conventional governing. Does any of that sound familiar? Reagan and the press, that's another story. They hated him, pure and simple. Journalists, true journalists, are politically neutral in their reporting and take pride in keeping readers, viewers, and listeners from ever knowing what their political persuasions are. Honestly, before 1980, when Reagan was elected, journalists were fairly successful at hiding their politics. They tried. And, you know, when they're pretty good and pretty smart, they can figure out ways to do that. But with the election of the movie star governor from California, all that journalist independence and integrity in reporting was immediately thrown out on the trash pile. Want some examples? Well, let's get started here. I've got a few for you. From a few people whose names you'll recognize. It starts here, quote, I used to say I thought if you were down on your luck and you got through the Secret Service, got in the Oval Office and said, Mr. President, I'm down on my luck, he would literally give you the shirt off his back. And then he'd sit down in his undershirt and he'd sign legislation throwing your kids off school lunch program, maybe your parents off Social Security, and of course the welfare queen off of welfare. That's from ABC's Sam Donaldson, who covered the White House during the 80s on Good Morning America. He said that in June of 04, and of course he was talking about Ronald Reagan. And then there was this one. All of us who covered the Reagans agreed that President Reagan was personable and charming, but I'm not so certain he was nice. It's hard for me to think of anyone as nice when I hear him say, the homeless are homeless because they want to be homeless. To my mind, a president should care about all people, and he didn't, which is why I will always feel Reagan lacked soul. Remember that little female reporter that always sat in the front row at White House press briefings? That was Helen Thomas that said that in July of 1993. Peter Jennings, quote, at the end of his presidency, a great many people thought he'd made the wealthy wealthier and had not improved life particularly for the middle class. Jennings was talking to co-host Charles Gibson on ABC's Good Morning America in 2004. Despite the accolades lavished upon Reagan since his death, for ending the Cold War, for restoring the nation's optimism, his many detractors remember him as a right-wing ideologue beholden to moneyed interest and insensitive to the needs of the most vulnerable Americans. Elected on a promise to slash taxes and crack down on freeloading welfare queens, Reagan depicted government as wasteful and minimized its capacity to help people, ideas that survive today. Reagan also dealt the blow to organized labor by firing the striking air traffic controllers and appointed Antonin Scalia, still the Supreme Court's most conservative jurist. Reagan's weakening of the social safety net by dismantling longtime Democratic Great Society programs arguably vexes his critics the most. By persuading Congress to approve sweeping tax cuts for the wealthy while slashing welfare benefits and other social services like the Federal Housing Assistance Program, Reagan was blamed for a huge surge in the nation's poor and homeless population. That's Beth Fohey in an Associated Press story headlined, "Many Still Troubled by Reagan's Legacy." And then CBS's Morley Safer, quote, "You talk about a vision, and it's some kind of abstract, vague idea. Did Ronald Reagan's vision include extraordinary deficits? Did his vision include cutting of the budgets for education and a back of the hand in terms of public education?" Larry King in that interview responded to Safer, "History will not be kind to him?" Safer, "No, I don't think history particularly will be kind. I don't think history has any reason to be kind to him." That was on CNN's Larry King Live in 2004. After 8 years of what many saw as the Reagan administration's benign neglect of the poor and studied indifference to civil rights, a lot of those who lived through this week in Overtown seem to think the best thing about George Bush is that he is not Ronald Reagan. There is an Overtown in every big city in America, pockets of misery made even meaner and more desperate in the past 8 years. That was ABC's Richard Threlkeld reporting from a section of Miami where there had been riots on World News Tonight, January 20th, 1989. Sam Donaldson, "Senator, don't you believe a lot of people do think that the 80s were an excess, which a lot of people got richer and people got poorer, and it's now fair to redress that balance?" Donaldson asked that of Robert Dole, Senator Dole, on This Week with David Brinkley in 1993. And then, not to be outdone, over on NBC, "In the greedy excess of the Reagan years, the mean income of the average physician nearly doubled from $88,000 to $170,000 a year. Was that warranted?" Bryant Gumbel on the Today Show asked that question of Dr. Richard Corlin of the American Medical Association. So, you know, the press wasn't very fond of Ronald Reagan when he was president. Had absolutely nothing good to say about him, as a matter of fact. But you know what? President Reagan had some really good accomplishments that he is primarily remembered for. Remember Reagan and Gorbachev getting together a few times? Well, Reagan inherited a pretty nasty foreign policy mess in several countries when he took over and moved into the White House. None bigger than that of the U.S.-Soviet Union nuclear weapons arms race. Reagan, though no foreign policy expert, knew that Soviet Russia was the biggest danger the U.S. faced. He immediately set out to try to find a way to make peace with Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev. They held three historical meetings, the first in Geneva, the second was in Iceland, and the third in Washington, D.C. I will not give you the U.S. media reports that followed each of the Gorbachev-Reagan meetings for the sake of your time, but know this for certain. The media excoriated Reagan every time for everything he did and didn't do, and planning for and his actions at and during each of those meetings. Reagan could do nothing right. In preparation for the Iceland meeting, unknown to the Americans, Gorbachev prepared and presented a series of nuclear proposals regarding denuclearization by both Russia and the U.S. He did so because he wanted to slip in there and catch Reagan by surprise in the meeting. And it worked. The Americans were planning intense meetings to find common ground, but not nearly the same common ground as the Russian contingency had put together. Gorbachev feared Reagan's Star Wars plan called SDI, or Strategic Defense Initiative. The Soviets felt that if it was implemented, it would give the U.S. total defensive nuclear dominance over the Soviet Union, both domestically and in Europe, if it was initiated. Gorbachev insisted that if the U.S. completed and implemented the SDI, it would not be implemented for the next 10 years. Reagan refused to accept those terms and abruptly just pulled up stakes and left Iceland without any meaningful agreement with Gorbachev nor any future plans to meet again. Of course, the rest of that story is historical. Gorbachev came to Washington later to continue negotiations. And finally, President Reagan made a trip to Germany and made a historical speech in which he sent a direct message to Mikhail Gorbachev.
And now the Soviets themselves may, in a limited way, be coming to understand the importance of freedom. We hear much from Moscow about a new policy of reform and openness. Some political prisoners have been released. Certain foreign news broadcasts are no longer being jammed. Some economic enterprises have been permitted to operate with greater freedom from state control. Are these the beginnings of profound changes in the Soviet state, or are they token gestures intended to raise false hopes in the West or to strengthen the Soviet system without changing it? We welcome change and openness, for we believe that freedom and security go together, that the advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Not long after Reagan's nuclear negotiations with Gorbachev and this speech in Berlin, the demise of the Soviet Union began, and it began with the Berlin Wall coming down. When we come back, we're going to look at what the U.S. media is doing in conjunction with U.S. politicians regarding Reagan and regarding Trump. You don't want to miss it. Sit tight. Back right after this at Truth News Network.
When you can't control what happens, you can control what you know about it. That means the truth. Dan Newman on TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Of all the things invented in 1962, some have faded away, like cassette tapes, and others are still very much with us, like lava lamps and Motel 6. Yep, Motel 6 is celebrating 50 years of giving travelers a good night's rest and saving you more for what you travel for. But we're just getting started. In fact, the longer you watch us, the better we get. Kind of like a lava lamp. Trippy. I'm Tom Baudette for Motel 6. 50 years and the light's still on.
When the lie becomes the norm, speaking the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Dan Newman, TNN,
the Truth News Network.
We're digging for truth for you, just like we do every day. You know, the U.S. media weighs in on pretty much everything, and often politicians from both sides of the aisle weigh in with the media. No doubt the similarities between Reagan and Gorbachev's relationship has been compared to that of Trump and Kim Jong-un. Now, that's not saying that Gorbachev and Kim have personal similarities, but the conditions surrounding U.S. presidential meetings with a foreign leader over nuclear arms issues that are very similar in nature. Also, Trump walked out of his second meeting with Kim in a similar fashion as did Reagan in Iceland. So, what other similarities are there? Democrats and the media. A spokesman for leading Democratic candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden blasted Trump for coddling Kim at the expense of American national security and interest. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who enjoys the second strongest following among the aspirant presidential candidates on the Democratic side, said the president was squandering American influence on photo ops and exchanging love letters with Kim. Senator Bernie Sanders, almost next in popularity to Warren, said the move had weakened the State Department. Samantha Vinograd, who served on the National Security Council under President Obama, said this: by shaking hands with Kim Jong-un at the DMZ with no preconditions attached, he's really signaling that his metric for success at this point is the status quo, which is no long-range missile test and no nuclear test. But North Korea keeping its nuclear arsenal, she said. Then she stated, Kim has no reason to denuclearize, but every reason to push Trump for what he's wanted all along. Phased sanctions relief. North Korea under Trump is a normalized nuclear power. Senate Democratic leader Charles Schumer of New York said on Twitter that while Trump and Kim met, quote, North Korea continues to build nuclear weapons. Another typical Trump show. Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. We've seen a history here, she said. Donald Trump announces these summits and nothing really comes of it. Despite the fact that there were four North Korean nuclear tests under President Obama and only one under President Trump, none in almost 2 years, and gave everything away to Cuba for nothing, Sunday's edition of ABC's Good Morning America and NBC's Sunday Today rushed to declare Trump's historic meeting with Kim Jong-un at the DMZ to be nothing more than just a photo op. This was the dramatic headline, the dramatic photo that the president wanted. He's a great showman. He pulled it off. There's just no question about that, proclaimed ABC chief anchor and Clinton lackey George Stephanopoulos. Stephanopoulos argued that there were no political or substantive outcomes from Trump's previous talks with the North Korean dictator. There was an echo on NBC where host Willie Geist asked political director Chuck Todd, quote, is there a plan from the Trump administration or was it a photo op? Todd hinted at it being just that, noting, quote, the last two ended up looking as if they were photo ops in the end. We thought they could lead to something, but they led to nothing. Here's the question that everyone in the media is afraid to ask or answer. Is Donald Trump another Ronald Reagan? You know what? He could be. Trump really liked Reagan. The two met several times and got along well, but that was long before Donald Trump ever became a politician. It's humorous that both ended up with entertainment careers immediately before turning to politics, Reagan as California governor after a Hollywood acting career, and Trump as U.S. president after a short but very successful television stint. So do the similarities stop there? It's fairly obvious that the Socialist Democrat Party and their communication arm, the media, hope the current Reagan-Trump comparisons are short-lived. They can't bear to think that Donald Trump might just pull off a successful political career. They're doing everything to keep that from happening. You know that. His doing so would certainly complete the self-destruction of the floundering Trump-hating sycophants at MSNBC and CNN. There's just too much money behind the Washington Post and the New York Times for them to disintegrate. But that's not the Trump objective. Donald Trump sincerely wants only an American success story full of wins for the American people. The media can't stand that. They've never seen that. It's always been politics in the White House and politics with a specific political narrative and objective has always been what drives White House policy. He has no political agenda other than doing what's best for the American people, and it drives the left insane. This one last comparison of the two. Ronald Reagan's most famous speech took place in front of a wall in Berlin in which he cried, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Democrats and their media henchmen cringe at the thought of President Trump ever being able to, in McAllen, Texas, or San Diego, California, or both, stand before network television cameras and say this. What do you think about the recently completed border wall between Mexico and the United States? uncanny similarities between Reagan and Trump, don't you think? And you know what? I predict there are going to be a few more. Hey, thanks for joining us here today. Thanks for joining us every day. Always glad to have you along. Also, glad to hear and see your comments. Feel free to do so. Let me know what you think. Dan at truthnewsnet.org. That's Dan at truthnewsnet.org. We're getting ready for Independence Day. It's going to be a great July 4th. Stay close to us. We'll be back. Until then, have a great day. So long, everybody.
When madness is the norm, the truth is a radical act of courage. Remain calm. Be brave. Wait for the signs. TNN,
the Truth News Network.